Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
My name is Qingquan Lai. I'm a PhD student from the Grenoble EMBA. And thanks, Professor Yves Bachet, to give me this opportunity to present my PhD work in this amazing symposium in this Nobel Prize College de France to present my PhD work. Today, the topic of my presentation is phase transformation controlled architectures in steel alloys. It is about the design of the graded martensite phase in ferrite martensite dual phase tubes. Here is the outline of my presentation. First, I will introduce why we are interested in the graded DP steel. Then I will present the results on microstructure and also on mechanical properties. And finally, the conclusions and perspective will be drawn. So, motivation. We are interested in the steel for making cars, and the key issue is formability. The essences of formability are work hardening and damage resistance. A good combination between strength, work hardening, and damage resistance is still a big challenge for high strength steels. And most of the work actually is to move this Bernoulli curve in the space of strength and formability in this direction. But when we want to improve the formability, there are always problems. For example, if we want good work hardening, we want a strong martensite. But when we want to improve the damage resistance, actually it is well known that it is the hardest contrast between ferrite and martensite that is the origin of the damage occurrence, no matter what kind of damage mechanism is, such as interfacial decohesion between ferrite and martensite, or martensite cracking or lacking, depending on the properties of the martensite. This is a micrograph for the damage by the martensite cracking, and this is the micrograph of the damage by interfacial decohesion. Principally, if we have hard martensite to guarantee the work hardening, we will sacrifice ductility at the same time. That is why we have the idea of the graded martensite phase. This graph is our imaginary, actually it is our dream. The matrix is a ferrite, and then this inclusion is martensite phase, but it is not homogeneous. We want a soft layer at the interface and a hard core in the middle. We design a soft layer at the interface is to delay the damage nucleation by decreased local hardness contrast and to increase the local ductility of martensite, especially if the damage initiated by the martensite crack from the face boundary. We design hard core is to guarantee work hardening. The idea is quite tricky because we have to introduce the hardness gradient within the face, let's say in two micrometers. So to answer this question, we have to think about what controls the hardness of martensite. Let's refer to a very early result of Morris Cohen in 1962. This result shows us that the hardness of martensite is very sensitive to the carbon content up to 0.7%. This result tells us an opportunity that if we can introduce the carbon profile within the martensite phase, then there is a possibility to introduce the corresponding hardness gradient within the martensite phase also. It is a kind of graded martensite. But how to fabricate it? We have proposed an approach. It is to start by the ferrite carbide mixture, then we integrate co-anneal it, so carbide will dissolve and austenite will form around carbide. And normally, as shown in this graph, that there will be a carbon profile within the austenite. Thanks to the calculation of discharge software, we can calculate the carbon profile within the austenite during phase transformation. Here in this case, we can see that there really exists a carbon profile within austenite. But the problem is that the carbon content in the middle and at the interface are not very different. The difference is just about 0.1% of carbon. The room to play with is quite narrow. But it is found that if we keep parts of the carbide not dissolved, there exists a very significant carbon profile within austenite. Now we refer to here the carbon content in the middle and the carbon content at the interface. is much more different. The difference more than 0.3% of carbon. So the room to play risk is much larger. Then we propose to design with this and dissolved carbide within the Martin site. It is kind of core shell architecture. So there might be a possibility of having a low carbon content at the shell at the interface, but keeping a high carbon content in the middle. Also, from the Dijkstra calculation, we have an idea to develop the reference alloys to test whether the carbon profile can have an effect on the mechanical properties. It is a game on the annealing temperature. As shown in this graph, it is noticed that if we increase the annealing temperature, we can decrease the carbon content at the interface. At the same time, the austenite formation kinetics will be accelerated. Then with this line of reference, we can have different carbon profiles, including the carbon content at the interface and the error-rich carbon content within the Martin site. There is another advantage of this line of reference, that is, since they developed from the same ferrite carbide mixture, after intercritical annealing, they will share the same microstructural features. So the goal of this work is to first is to experimentally process graded diffusion and then to characterize, to test, understand, and to model the effect of carbon profile on the mechanical behavior, and to prove that this can be a novel way of making trade-off between different mechanical properties. So, microstructure. We start from cobalt Martin site and then we temperate it for a long time. This is 3 days to have coarse carbide. The carbides can be several hundred nanometers. This is the composition. With the 3.5 manganese, we cannot increase the tempering temperature further to have coarse carbide. And now, what we have now is we have got coarse carbide enriched with manganese. The manganese content within the carbide can be higher than 25%. And the distribution of carbides is banded due to the manganese segregation. The recrystallization and grain growth of ferrite have occurred after tempering. With this initial microstructure, we can study the kinetics of austenite formation. This is the result in dilatometer. And similar trends as the prediction of Dijkstra, that the austenite formation kinetics is very sensitive to the temperature. Here in this case, this is the annealing, the austenite formation kinetics at 700 degrees C. It can last for a long time, but if we just increased the annealing temperature by 40 degrees C, the austenite formation can be finished in several minutes. It means that the temperature window for practical heat treatment in conventional furnace is quite narrow. Here in this case is about 50 degrees C. Remember again that I increased the annealing temperature is to decrease the carbon content at the interface, but the austenite formation at high temperature is very fast. This sets an upper limit in our practical trial. Then I characterize the microstructure I've got. This is the microstructure annealed at 740 degrees C and with a relatively small volume fraction of martensite. The martensite island is distributed along the ferrite grain size like a necklace, and then we observe it with a larger magnification. We can see after little etching, we can see the features of retained carbide within the martensite very clearly. And as to the microstructure with more volume fraction of martensite here, this case is about 35%. We can observe that due to the relatively high manganese content, the bending structure is very obvious. And with the high magnification, we can see that even with a larger martensite content, there are still a lot of carbide within the martensite. Under the TM, we can see the core shell architecture more clearly. This is the ferrite matrix. There are some carbide within the ferrite matrix and transformed to austenite. And this is the martensite island. These particles are carbide. Occasionally, there are more than one carbide within a single martensite island. So far, it is believed that there are enough proof that we have fabricated the core shell architecture. And also, I've developed the reference alloys at different annealing temperature and also with different volume fraction of martensite. Remind you again that I played with annealing temperature is to manipulate the carbon profile within the martensite. So, how is the mechanical properties of such kind of braided DP steels? The first thing I should do is to prove that the annealing temperature has an effect on the properties of martensite. I do this by the Lando indentation to measure the local hardness of the faces. This is the SM image with the QBSD contrast. Fortunately, I can distinguish the ferrite and the martensite. These are the Lando indents. And then I probe the evolution of Lando hardness of martensite with the penetration depth. Be attention that due to the composite effect of the soft ferrite matrix, we cannot use larger penetration depth. But fortunately, with the moderate penetration depth of about 40 nanometer, it is proved that the hardness of the martensite is decreased when we increase the annealing temperature. Actually, it is what we are probing is the average effect, and this agrees with the prediction of Dijkstra simulation. And then I do the tensile test to probe the macro mechanical behavior. This described is the evolution of the tensile strength with the volume fraction of martensite. It is observed that both this is the materials at the different annealing temperature. It is observed that both of the reference alloys have the same linear relationship between the strength and the volume fraction of martensite. But as to the case with the larger volume fraction of martensite, then the difference comes out. As to this QT700, you can see that even with less martensite, it can has better strength level and even similar strength level with the QT740 with the more martensite. It means that the martensite at low annealing temperature has better strengthening efficiency. As to the evolution of the uniform elongation, generally speaking, the QT700 has slightly better uniform elongation. And as to the fracture strength, you can see that very similar trend as the strength and the martensite content is that the fracture strength with low martensite content, they both share the same linear relationship. But as to the relatively large martensite content is that for the QT740, even with more martensite, it can have better fracture strength than the QT700. It means that the properties of the DP steel can be changed by the annealing temperature. And we use this graph again. We change the annealing temperature is to manipulate the carbon profile within the martensite. Now, as to the sample, anneal at lower temperature, it can have higher average carbon content, especially the carbon content at the interface. Then we can understand why the martensite at lower temperature annealing temperature can have better strengthening efficiency. And as to the sample, at higher temperature, it has a lower average carbon content, especially the carbon content at the interface. That it is easy to accept the fact that the fracture strength of QT740 can be better than QT700 even with more martensite. To support this analysis, we need the proof from experiments. Then I do the detailed investigation of the damage behavior to explain how and why the fracture strength can be improved in the QT740. I selected these three reference alloys. Let's first have a look at these two. This is both of annual at 740 degrees C, but with different martensite content. The trend is that all of the tensile properties are very sensitive to the martensite content. With more martensite, we can have the higher strength level, lower uniform elongation, and lower fracture strength. But it is interesting to compare these two. For the QT700 with less martensite, it can have very similar strength level, higher uniform elongation, but lower, just the same fracture strength. Then we compare the difference in the damage accumulation. First, let's compare the black line and the red line first. They are both at 740, but with different Martin site content, the change is in the damage nucleation. If we increase the Martin site fraction, we decrease the damage nucleation string. But let's have a look at this blue 9. It is a QT700 with less Martin site than this. It has as low damage nucleation string as that one of QT740, and also, even further, it has a higher damage nucleation rate. So this result can tell us the fact that the fracture string is of QT740 is improved by delaying damage nucleation. With this fact, it's not enough to understand why the fracture string is improved. And then I do the damage and fracture observation to find out the mechanism. This is the observation of void coalescence and the fracture. First, we can observe the void coalescence by the shear localization, and this will lead to the dimples on the fracture surface. And also, we can observe the void linkage along the tensile axis, and this will lead to delamination. Actually, we can observe the features of delamination at the fracture surface. If we refer to the Brown-Embry criterion, we can estimate that this kind of delamination can be important in ductile fracture, because if the size of the elongated defect is large, then the critical width, the critical distance between the defects can be quite large for the final instability to occur. Actually, from the fracture surface, we can observe this kind of proof. Here is the delamination. Here is the delamination. This is a shear band indicating the final instability. And notice that here's the scale bar. The width of the of the shear band is more than 20 micrometer. But what we are interested in the damage nucleation. Notice the position of the carbide, and which is quite very easy to observe the Martin site cracking. And sometimes we can observe the Martin site crack in an lentensite manner. But since our design is in the grain scale, this is not enough to prove that our idea of graded Martin size is working. But fortunately, we can observe here is the micrograph for the damage of the small Martin site island. We can observe that the crack initiated from the edge or from the grain, from the face boundary. And as to the big Martin site island, or I prefer to say it is a Martin site band, it is easily to observe this kind of defect. It is the crack initiated from the face boundary, and also it's obvious that the crack is very blunt, indicating that the local ductility of the Martin site can be very good. And I can also observe another kind of mechanism. It is by the decohesion at the triple junction, and this defect doesn't grow as a void by dislocation emission, but instead as a crack along the ferrite grain boundaries and parallel to the tensile axis, which is very interesting. So now we have an idea how this graded DPSU is broken, and then maybe it's time to discuss why the carbon profile can have an effect on the damage behavior. We have observed two kinds of damage mechanism, Martin site cracking and the cohesion at the triple junction. As to the damage by Martin site cracking, it can be initiated from the edge. With the Martin site profile, we decreased the local hardness contrast, and also what is important is that we increase the local ductility, then it is possible to delay the damage nucleation. And as to the decohesion at the triple junction, with the carbon profile, it is possible to decrease the local hardness contrast, and then to decrease the consequential strain partitioning and stress concentration, especially at the triple junction. So far, now I propose that the idea of graded Martin site should work better when the carbon content at the interface is low enough, and we have to consider the problem of a scale. The thickness of the soft layer is large enough. Actually, for the engineering materials, most of them are not in equilibrium state. There must be some kind of composition profile, but impossible for all of them are useful. We have to consider both the problem of content and also the scale of the profile. Now, I have the graded button size, and then the results prove that it can be a way to make trade-off between the strength, rock hardening, and the fracture strength. Then, to fit the topic of the symposium today, I have to consider in the material space that how is the situation in the filling gap. Then I compare the data in the space of the strength and ductility. Notice that now the variables include both the property of the Martin site and also the volume fraction of Martin site. It is interesting to find that in the space of the tensile strength and the fracture strength, both of the reference alloys share the same relationship. And in the space of uniform elongation and tensile strength, it is surprising to observe that the QT700, which ended at lower temperature with a less significant carbon profile, has better combination of strength and uniform elongation. So the things occurred in the opposite direction as I imagined. But I'm not surprised, because this gives us some indication of the knowledge and about DPSTU. That is the benefit of use a strong martensite. The first point is that martensite is strong but not so brittle as ceramic. And then the second point is that with both all the strengths, uniform integration and the fracture strengths are sensitive to the martensite content. If we have a stronger martensite, then we can use less to keep the strength level, but with less martensite, it is easier to have a good uniform elongation and good fracture strength. So far, in my effort, the volume fraction of martensite is still the first order effect, but the game is not over yet. There is still a possibility to find a more significant carbon profile to make the martensite properties the first order effect. The game is not over yet. So, conclusion. An approach to the graded DPSTU has been designed based on Dijkstra calculation, and the model microstructure was achieved experimentally, and the mechanical properties of the graded steels have been changed by ambient temperature, which manipulate the carbon profile within the martensite. This result showed a novel way of making trade-off between strength, rock hardening, and fracture resistance. And also I have a plan for the future work. I'm always wondering to use the seams or even nanoseam to probe the carbon profile, and it would be nice to relate the damage occurrence to the chemical heterogeneity. And that it might be interesting to design some experiment to highlight the modification of damaged nucleation, like tensile test at low temperature or with high stress triaxiality. And since it is a graded interface, it might be interesting to design experiments to study the behavior of interfacial decohesion. I propose the compression pads is to avoid the martensite cracking. As said in the last slide, it might be possible to try a more significant carbon profile that can be achieved by trying a higher enduring temperature, but the heat treatment will be very challenging. If we increase the enduring temperature, let's say to 780, the austenite formation can be finished in several seconds. Finally, the FEM calculation will be very useful to study quantitative the effect of the soft laser on the mechanical properties. Thank you for your attention.